You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on this Wednesday, January 29th. It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com along with you. And on Flames Talk on Wednesdays, we say hello to the color voice of the Calgary Flames. Megan Mickelson joins us midweek with Megan. Megan's midweek musings. We don't have a name for it, and I don't know if we're ever going to come up with a name for it, to be perfectly honest with you, but one day it'll click. Hi, Mick.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to chat with you, as always. Megan Mickelson on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. I'm sure the text line will come up with a few more before we wrap up the segment, because it usually does. I feel weird because we have you on this show once a week, but I talk to you daily and we do our pregame hits every second day. So I'm like, yeah, we've talked about that and that. But I'm like, oh, no, it's a new audience. But hey, what has gotten into Andre Kuzmenko the last little while? Let's start there, because he, for the first half of the season, was uninspired at times, not in the lineup at other times. And now last week, 2 weeks, We're seeing a little bit more of an engaged and impactful Andre Kuzmenko from this vantage point. What are you seeing, and why?
Well, I think short answer, what's gotten into him? Well, he finally scored a goal. And what that's allowed him to do, in my mind, is to just stop overthinking things. Like, I think, you know, for a guy like him, we heard Ryan Huska say it this morning, like, he tends to kind of get in his own head. And so for me, I think he was thinking too much and not moving his feet enough. And now that he's just kind of, you know, he's scored a goal, he's feeling better about his game, he's just going out there and he's playing. And, you know, I think for me as a player, I always found that, you know, when you weren't executing or fulfilling the role that you were supposed to, that's when you tend to overthink and you get away from your game and the things that make you the player that you are. But then as soon as you kind of get like a little bit of a taste of that and you start to feel like yourself again, then your performance just kind of takes care of itself. So I think he's stopped thinking so much, and he's been really dynamic. I think he's also been more competitive and engaged. He's working harder on the ice, and, you know, he's shooting the puck. He's not looking for passes, and I think he's just going out there and he's playing, and he looks like he's having fun too. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that are going on, but I mean, you have to think the biggest thing is he finally scored a goal and he's feeling good about himself, and he's playing with a couple guys where, you know, things are clicking, things are working. He feels like he has some flow, some momentum, and he's just kind of back into the swing of things and into the game that he knows that he can play. So, you know, I asked Ryan Huska yesterday morning, I was like, well, like, what's gotten into him? He looks like he's a man possessed. And he just said, you know, he's working, he's moving his feet, he's shooting the puck, he's been really strong on his stick, you know, those cutbacks down low. But it's, you know, to me, it's also the chemistry of him and Pospisil and Sharon Govich. So, I mean, I love what I'm seeing. I just hope that it's something he can keep up consistently, because as we know, he can be pretty streaky.
Yeah, he runs hot and cold so much, and that's always somewhat confusing to me as somebody that, you know, capped out playing midget AA, and I don't have a whole lot of high-end leverage experience to draw on. But confidence is such a strange thing, and we've seen it through multiple players through multiple years, where if suddenly you're confident through one stretch and that evaporates or erodes on you, it can be such a detriment. And I asked Kuzmenko today, like, how much more confident are you this past week than you were a month ago or so? And he gave a really long answer to it, but he started it off with, I don't want to think about last month. Like, that's how rattled the confidence question kind of got me. I don't want to go back a month. Let's stay exactly where we are right now, because, yeah, to your point, he's absolutely feeling it. He's found some chemistry on a line with Sharon Govich and Pospisil. And to be quite honest, it's almost like a light switch. It's so night and day, Kuzmenko's game over the course of the last week, than where it was a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, basically outside of the first couple games of the season. But this is the player that the Calgary Flames need Kuzmenko to be, both to help them with a playoff push, to help him with any sort of trade value if they are entertaining moving Kuzmenko. And I don't know if that was necessarily going to be an option, you know, 3 weeks ago. But if he continues to produce the way he has, continues to even, goals, assist, points aside, just be as threatening as he has been over the course of the last couple of games, it is a big coup for the Flames if he's able to continue and keep it up.
Well,
yeah, I love what Brian Huska said this morning about confidence. And I know he said it a number of times now. And I feel like him and I are kind of on the same wavelength of, you know, what confidence is and where you get it from. And him just saying, you know, confidence is something that is earned. And you earn that through your work every single day. And when you work the way you should be, then the results come. And that's where confidence comes from. So I loved what he said about that. And I think that that's where Andrei Kuzmenko's gotten his confidence from, too, is he's put in the work. And I think for a while now, even just watching him in practice and his habits, and, you know, he's on the ice shooting pucks late a ton, working with the coaches, and, you know, in games, he was shooting the puck more even before he was scoring. So for me, he's earned that confidence that he's now playing with.
Well, and what was interesting on Tuesday night in the game against Washington was, I think most of this was because they had just killed off a penalty and Pelche kills a lot of penalties, but for the final four shifts of those lines going out there, Kuzmenko played with the Kadri line and Pelche played with the Sharangovich line. And I just, you're like, mm-hmm. I wonder if that, if Kuzmenko can continue to play the way that he has and can continue to be an offensive difference maker, which we all know he's got the capability of doing. If that is able to continue, would that be an option that they would look at some point? Would they be interested in trying him there? And what I mean, and who knows the way things go between now and the Four Nations break, but you know, if at some point we're tweeting out lines and Kuzmenko's with Huberto and Kadri, what a change of fortune that would have been from a month ago when he wasn't even cracking the roster. So it speaks on one hand to, hey, this is a really good stretch for him. It speaks on the other hand, Mick, to what you're talking about, and that we don't know if this is going to continue, and he is so enigmatic,
yeah.
and up and down. So you're not really confident either that this is something that's just going to keep on going. But man, if it does, what an interesting story that could be.
Yeah, and I mean, you also, as a player, you get a boost from, you know, say in the game on Tuesday where he gets bumped up with Kadri and Huberto, then you're feeling pretty good about yourself when the coach puts you in that situation too, and you know that you're doing the right things and you're playing the right way. So I think that's something that you kind of feed off of as well. But yeah, he needs to keep doing exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
And I think that the goals will continue to come, but that's the key, is that consistency of the work that he's putting in.
We found out Kevin Ball week to week, which usually with this team kind of just means out more than a week, but could very well keep him out until after the Four Nations face-off break. We'll find that out as time goes along. But it does mean that it's going to be a little while longer without Kevin Ball in the lineup, and we are going to be talking about 5-6 games or more with him out of the lineup with an upper body injury. You know, we saw it on Sunday. We saw it on Tuesday as well. But, you know, when you think about all the things that Ball impacts, Mick, like, what is the real impact of not having him in the lineup for a little while now?
Well, to me, Kevin Ball, he's the best defensive defenseman that the Flames have. Like, in terms of just solid defensive play, his gaps in the neutral zone, holding the blue line. I mean, that great stick that he has, number one stick checks in the NHL, and he's held that title for a little while now. Like, he plays a ton, obviously, alongside Rasmus Anderson and the top pairing when it comes to shutdown, or have been when you're playing against other teams' top lines. But I think that they've been able to be that pair mainly because of Kevin Ball and, you know, Rasmus Anderson, obviously. I mean, he defends well, but Kevin Ball's just, I mean, he's next level. And, you know, it's a massive, massive hole to try to fill. And I know Ryan Huska has said it's it's not a hole that one guy is going to be able to fill. I think, you know, everyone needs to step up and be better defensively. And that really comes down to making sure that, you know, the six, whoever's playing, like, you have to be really dialed in on the details of your game, because, I mean, Ball, he's a guy, he would kill plays really fast. And when you kill plays the way that he does and intercept so many passes, and it allows you to get out of your own zone a lot more quickly. In saying that, I did think that the defensive group on Tuesday night did a pretty good job. I didn't love the group in Winnipeg, but on Tuesday, I thought they did a good job, and they had a lot of, you know, offensive zone time, but you don't get offensive zone time unless you're defending really well. And that speaks to the way that the D corps stood up and took on some heavier minutes. So, I mean, it's a massive, massive hole. And I think that it's not one that you can fill, and you just hope that he gets back as quickly as possible, I think, is the short answer for that.
I think what this does is really well, it illustrates the value that Ball has to the Calgary Flames and that blue line. Because, to be perfectly honest, I think a lot of confusion is created by his absence in, okay, you don't have Ball. What do you do? Who do you put with Anderson? What does that leave for Uyghur? Do you play Tyson Barrie on his offside, where he doesn't have a lot of experience doing that and he's probably not at his best? Do you look at bringing Miramanov back in at some point? Do you look to the Wranglers to see if there's a left shot D to help players or help that blue line slot more appropriately? At the end of the day, it's a massive, I don't want to say issue, because it's not an issue yet per se, because like you, Mick, I think that the Flames blue line against the Capitals was, I don't know if this is a compliment or an insult, but it was adequate for what we've seen. But can they sustain that over a week-to-week basis with Ball's absence? I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions asked about this blue line. And coming into the season, the biggest question for me on the Flames was, alongside the goaltending situation, was, and they're kind of tied together, but how is this D-core going to hold up? It's relatively inexperienced. It's not very deep. And now you're taking out one of your three top four defensemen on this roster. What does it mean for slotting for the rest of the group? It just, for me right now, I have more questions than answers about this blue line.
I think too, like, one of the big things, and this is, you know, my experience as a player, is when you lose a player like that in your lineup, you know, when you're one of those other defensemen for the Flames, the other six guys, you can't try to change your game to try to fill that hole. So I say you need to be, you know, dialed in defensively, but at the same time, you need to still, you know, go out there and be the player that you are. Like, you don't want Rasmus Anderson to change what he's doing right now just because Kevin Ball's out. You don't want Mackenzie Uyghur playing any differently just because Kevin Ball's out. Like, you still need those guys to play their games and do what they bring, because when you start to try to be something that you're not, that's when you get yourself into trouble, in my experience. But yeah, Vix, I agree with you. Like, he's a guy you cannot replace. It's not possible with the personnel that the Flames have. And it's always so interesting when you lose a player like that, you really see and understand their value that they bring to the team. And I don't think we understood that value until he was out of the lineup.
It just, and then the trickle down of not having Ball and Anderson together, you know, that number six in the NHL in terms of time spent together this year. So one of the most frequent pairings all year long. And that just throws off so many different things. Now all of a sudden your pairings are messed up. But, you know, on the flip side, and what we always hear is, okay, opportunity now for somebody else. And maybe we got a little bit more of an understanding as to, you know, the way that Tyson Barrie goes about his business. I mean, the fact that he was able to step in and be a pretty, pretty reliable player, or at the very least a player that could help you specifically on the offensive end. He gets the point on the power play goal and gets that puck through, and he also hits the post, almost ties the game again. You know, so you got a little bit of a look at Tyson Berry, and maybe it's another big opportunity for Daniil Miramanov if he's going to get an opportunity. I am curious to see how guys on this roster step up, especially if we're talking about Ball not coming back until after the break.
Well, that's one way you can offset, you know, any holes, I guess, that Kevin Ball's leaving on the defensive end is maybe produce a little bit more offense. That would help out for sure. And, you know, a guy that can do that is Tyson Berry. And, you know, if I'm Ryan Huska, I would be going with the exact same defense group that they went with on Tuesday night. I thought they did a good job. I thought Tyson Berry did a phenomenal job considering that he hadn't played in so long. Like, it's very clear he's just a true pro, and he knew what he needed to do to get himself ready. I think, you know, for him, one thing that he needs to kind of get back up to speed, I think he was missing his skating and his pace a little bit. He got beat a couple of times, mainly by Ethan Frank, but you know, I think that that's one thing for him. I don't think it's an issue, but I think it's something that he plays a couple of games, and that's something that will come back quickly. Because honestly, guys, like there's nothing in the world that will simulate the speed and pace and the intensity of playing a game and the explosiveness of skating that you need to use. Like, practice doesn't even simulate that. The only way that you get that is in games. So, you know, I think if Tyson Berry gets a couple of more games in, I think that his pace and that speed will come back. But I think he did a great job. I know that defending is not his strength, but I would agree with you, Pat. It was adequate. He did the job. And I mean, when you play that well offensively, it offsets any defensive deficiencies that you have.
Yeah, for me, I am giving Barry another opportunity. And the trick, from at least my perspective, and it's not like I get to say who comes in and who goes out, but you have to be a bigger asset offensively than you are a liability defensively. And it's not a Ball for Barry swap in my mind. I mean, we're talking about Tyson Berry over the last 5 years has played 91 minutes of penalty kill time. He's played 800 minutes of power play time. So you've got to be able to offset what you're losing defensively. I mean, I went and looked it up.
That's
I'm like,
hilarious stat.
I'm not going to lie. I was actually surprised it was 91 minutes, and that's not necessarily knock on Barry to the extent that maybe it sounds like, but it's reinforcing the fact that, yeah, when he's in your lineup to be an offensive generator, not necessarily a shutdown defenseman. So for me, you've got to just simply provide more offense than you're sacrificing by having him out there on the defensive side of the puck. But for his first game in 77, 78 days, really strong showing for Tyson Berry, and no doubt the conditioning stint with the Wranglers helped, but the fact of the matter remains, that's his first game since, what, November 12th, and he was able to make a positive impact in that game. He's absolutely earned a little bit of runway in my books.
Well, and Mick, I know I didn't send this to you on the topic list, but it just kind of hit me as we're talking right now. I mean, in a lot of ways, and I can guarantee you not one of us in this conversation, Mick, Vix, or me, would have been saying this in training camp, like, thank goodness for Joel Hanley. But you think about the things have gone this year. I mean, this guy was number 8 with a bullet on the depth chart entering the season, and people were wondering, like, well, are they going to put him on waivers? Like, put him on waivers. Who cares if he gets claimed?
Yeah.
And now he's played with Pahal, he's played with Uyghur, and the last two games he's played with Anderson. Mick, the underlings are some of the best on the team. Like, he's never going to be a guy that gets you a ton of points. He's never going to be a guy that is spectacular and pushes you over the top. But with the injuries they've sustained and the uncertainty that they've had on the blue line, and you know, some players have been a little slower to get up to speed back there than others. I mean, where would they be without Joel Hanley this year? And none of us would have been thinking about that in September or October.
Yeah, go Joel Hanley. I keep saying that. I mean, I'm a big fan of what he's done. He's kind of like the Swiss Army knife on the back end for the Flames. And I mean, what a luxury as a coach. Like, you now know that you can literally play him alongside pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
And one of my pet peeves with defensemen, and, you know, I think it's it's just one of those things where if you're not jumping out on someone's TV screen or, you know, on the ice, you're not doing anything to be noticed, then a lot of people think that, you know, you're not good enough or that there's something better out there, when oftentimes all you really need is a guy like Joel Hanley, who plays a solid, simple game. He gets the job done. Nothing flashy, nothing fancy, but he defends really well. From what all the guys have said, he's extremely easy to play with because he communicates really well, which is very important when you're playing with a new D partner. I think that's probably what allows him to have success playing with so many different partners, is that, you know, level of communication, which is huge when you're not used to playing with someone. But he's pretty much come in and done whatever they've asked of him whenever they've asked it. So, I mean, I think he's a massive asset to have at this point. And yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, he wasn't one that, you know, you thought would come in handy. But I think over the course of the year, he's really proven his value with this group. So I'm a big Joel Hanley fan.
Let's see if you're a big fan of any of these names here that have come in since we've started.
I actually liked Mick, Vix, and me is what you said. Now, we can forget about Wes Gilbertson, which I think everybody here would agree is what we want to do.
Mick, Vix, and me. I don't mind that, actually.
You said it, and I'm like, I'm going to write that down.
That wasn't even intentional. Now, I feel like there would be... Dale has one. I feel there'd be copyright infringement if issues on that one. This from Colin, Muscle Mommy's Minute. I don't know if Mick would be on. So that's a good listener from Colin. He's dialed if he remembers that.
Yeah.
A Moment with Megan. That's not bad. Jason has Megan's Mentality. That sounds like a segment on... that sounds like a segment on an intermission or a pregame show. Like, it's now time for Megan's Mentality with cheesy rock music.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a motivational speaker segment.
Also could work.
Yeah, that's too intense. That's too intense.
Mix on the mic. Mix Monopoly. Yep, I think we still got,
I still got
some work
to do. You know, I still, the front runner is still the Mick Week update.
Ooh,
that's courtesy Jordan Bay.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah,
I like it.
J Bay.
And just because he suggested it, I'm having trouble going with it. So great stuff, Mick. We will see you at Morning Skate on Thursday. Hey, thanks as always.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Megan Mickelson is the color voice of the Calgary Flames. Once a week on Wednesdays, she joins us here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The names maybe aren't the best, but usually some good insight from, well, not usually. The names aren't so great. Always the insight great with Megan Mickelson. Color voice of the Flames as Calgary gets set to host Anaheim on Thursday night. Megan Mickelson joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home? Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344.